Ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed an honor and a pleasure to stand here before you in such palatial surroundings with so many luminaries that I even tremble to start my speech. It is a historic fact that over the last 100 years, virtually every doctor, even if he did not go to, at least dreamt of going to the UK and obtaining higher qualifications. A lot of us did go there and work for several years, and some of us did not come back. In the last 10 years or so, we have improved as a country. We have become an economic so-called superpower, and healthcare has blossomed and grown year on year, strength by strength. And today, India has as good, if not better, facilities, and the doctors in India are on par, if not better, than the doctors anywhere else in the world. I came back to India 4 years ago after being in the United Kingdom for more than 10 years. And the other thing that struck me was the way that disease patterns had changed in India. Around 10 years ago, almost 70% of the patients coming to hospitals had acute problems like infections, trauma, and so on. Whereas today, we now know that only 55% of the people who come to Indian hospitals come with acute illnesses, whereas 45% of people actually suffer from some sort of chronic condition, be it cardiac, respiratory, or cancer-related, and so on. Also, the way healthcare in India works is completely different from the way it does in the United Kingdom, because almost 70% of Indians either do use or would like to use private healthcare. And a lot of these people are actually paying out of their own pocket. The incredible thing about the United Kingdom that a lot of you who have trained and lived there will also identify with is the fact that right from John O'Groats to Land's End, the standard of care is of a certain minimum quality that is assured to patients whether they go to a large city hospital or to a tiny district general hospital. Further, there is continuing medical education and continuing stress on quality, not just of the doctors, but also of all the support staff across the board, be they health administrators, nurses, physiotherapists, or occupational therapists. There is also a huge connect between the needs of the community, the universities, and the hospitals, so that products are innovated locally, either because they are required or because the hospitals feel that they are required, and thereby there is a strategic, targeted approach towards innovation, especially with regard to the health sector. Also, very importantly, in the United Kingdom, there is a need-based health service where you do not simply employ specialists from various specialties just because of the snob factor, but you actually employ them in a structured manner in certain institutions so that there is targeted delivery of healthcare. The NHS, which is completely free, actually provides completely free healthcare to over 90% of the United Kingdom at this minimum standard quality. And definitely, I think that it is important for our own country, India, to try to achieve this standard of giving its citizens the minimum quality of healthcare that they would expect from any hospital that they may go to anywhere in India. The other problem in India is accessibility. And I think that it is clear today that most of our super specialty hospitals or even private hospitals are clustered around the larger cities and towns. And there is a dearth of these institutions in tinier and far-flung areas. The other huge disparity that exists in India is the fact that although we have world-class doctors, we are not really focusing on getting the support staff or the team up to the same level as these doctors, who are paid extremely well, and they, you know, they deserve it, but they also deserve a team that is as good. For these reasons, I think it is important that a lot of us who have historical connections with the UK, who speak the same language, who understand the protocols, who've lived in a country where it actually works, are building a bridge with the United Kingdom to make sure that these deficiencies in this country are addressed before it is too late. The other important factor that we need to tap into in India is the quality of innovation. Most of the time, what happens in our country is either we import products from overseas or we just blatantly copy products that are not meant for our population. I think it is hugely important and cost-effective for us to innovate products that are required depending on the area that they need to be used and depending on the kind of disease that we have. This spirit of innovation does not really get encouraged in the medical community. And I think it is important that this bridge exists to tap into the way of thinking in the United Kingdom and into the spirit of innovation so that there can be a huge advantage to India in terms of the way we deliver healthcare and in the quality that we deliver this. Obviously, you already heard from Mike Nathavernakis the advantage to the United Kingdom in actually engaging in trade with this huge healthcare giant that is India, where the device industry is growing and the healthcare industry as a whole is worth around $120 billion. This is what I said at the House of Lords on the 2nd of November 2011, and this was taken up with great enthusiasm by the United Kingdom, and this is how the Indo-British Health Initiative was actually born. If you look at our country, 60% of the medical personnel are from South India, and it therefore made sense that the spark for the Indo-British Health Initiative came from Chennai, and who better to be the ex officio president than one of the most energetic Foreign Office staff that this country has ever seen, Mike Nathavernakis, the Deputy High Commissioner for South India of the UK. So, of course, the Indo-British Health Initiative has a website, it has a board of trustees, but most importantly, it is not a body that is just focused on doctors alone. We invite people to be members from any area of medicine. You could be a nurse, you could be a physiotherapist, you could be a healthcare administrator, or you could just simply be an innovator. The first symposium of the Indo-British Health Initiative is to basically celebrate the greatest British innovation ever in the field of orthopedic surgery. And this will be held on the 14th and 15th of January, and it is to celebrate that great man, Sir John Chanley, without whom we would not have had any joint replacement in any shape or form ever in the world. This will involve not just orthopedic surgeons from the UK and orthopedic surgeons from India. It will involve metallurgists, tribologists, people who give pain relief, anaesthetists, rehabilitators, physiotherapists, nurses, combining together with industry to have a two-day session of full and free exchange of ideas. In the future, as we are able to pick up bright sparks, innovators on this side and on the UK side of this relationship, we are definitely intending to provide forums for them, scholarships for them, so that we can encourage new products that can be innovated in India and also encourage people from the UK coming here, not just people from India going to the UK. I'm glad that there is a huge turnout today from various different aspects of the medical community of Tamil Nadu. And I'm sure that if you join with us and we work hard and put our efforts in the right direction, that we will be able to make a historical bridge, the IBHI, connecting India and the UK. Thank you very much.